Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.org.au.
All right. Good morning, everybody. How's everyone doing this morning? My name is Daniel Indrajaya. Whether you are doing awesome or not so awesome, I believe God's grace is enough for all of us. I'd like to welcome everybody to church this morning, especially if this is your first time coming to The Rocks. You are definitely our honored guest, and we are so privileged to be able to host you this morning. I'd like to begin by saying that our slogan around here is no perfect people allowed. We like to believe that none of us is perfect, so if you are perfect, the door is that way. Just kidding. But yeah, it's not just to remind you, but it's to remind all of us who attend this church regularly that none of us is perfect. That's why we need God's grace in our lives, and we have access to that grace every single day of our lives because of what Jesus has done for us 2,000 years ago. I'd like to welcome our YouTube viewers, podcast listeners as well. Thank you for joining in this morning. We are on the second week of our series, Crazy Like Us. And this is such an important series. And I've been praying so hard about this series that all of us will really open our hearts to see what God is trying to say to us and really be ready to be crazy like all of us. So on that note, I'd like to begin by saying a word of prayer one more time for all of us. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we have witnessed this morning. The baptism of Annette and the songs we are able to sing for you, and just the fellowship, the smiles that we see in people's faces, the welcoming spirit, Lord, that is in this place. So thank you so much, Lord, because I know that you are here. Right now, I know that you want to say something to us, something important. So Father, I pray that all of us will open our hearts, no matter our background. Whatever reason we came here this morning, I believe that we are meant to be here. We are meant to listen to what you want to say to us. So speak to us, Lord. We're ready to listen. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks. Everyone say amen. Amen. All right. Crazy like us. We began this series last week by saying crazy is relative. You talk to different people. Different people have different kind of crazy. I was watching this video of a guy literally. He was riding his bike on a ledge about this wide, about a few hundred meters in the sky somewhere. I thought, that is crazy. And you know what else is crazy? People giving their hard-earned money into this building that we are so comfortably sitting in right now. That's crazy. The month of March for our church has traditionally been the Kingdom Builders Month. What is Kingdom Builders? Let me repeat to you again for those of you who didn't come last week, who missed it. Kingdom Builders is actually a faith-stretching exercise for all of us. We want to stretch our faith just like our muscle. We want to put our trust in God as we do this, believing that He's able to provide everything that we need. And we want to practice radical generosity by giving above and beyond our regular giving towards a building fund. You know, this is just reality check. This building doesn't pay itself. We still need to pay for this building. And I thank God for the generous hearts of a lot of people who call this church home. And that's why we want to encourage you to join us to be crazy like us. So that's why I want to remind you again that if you are visiting, if you are a guest, just sit back and relax. This is not for you. But for the people who call this church home, or for people who want to consider to make this church your home, we want to invite you, wherever you are in your level of generosity, we want to invite you to be crazy like us. People think, why would you do that? Why would you do that? And Pastor Daniel, you seem to be enjoying doing this very much. Well, let me tell you, I don't enjoy doing this at all. All right? I've lost friends over this. I have people talking behind my back about this. I've received hate emails over this, and I will receive more emails. And if you are considering sending email, just send it to john.atkinson@therocks.church. That's my email address. But I'm not enjoying this at all. If you think that I like to talk about money, that all I care about is money, nothing could be further from the truth. And you talk to a lot of people who know me, talk to a lot of people who call this church home, they will tell you the same thing. I don't enjoy doing this, but let me tell you what I do enjoy. I do enjoy seeing people being set free because of generosity. I do enjoy seeing people having so much joy in their lives because they learn to be generous. And the people who give to our church above and beyond the regular giving that we need to carry on the ministry in this church, we're not giving toward the building per se, even though we are giving toward the building, but for us, as we have already talked about last week, if you missed it, listen to the podcast, this is what we are giving to. We're giving to the people that we can reach with the love of Jesus Christ, with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of the building. So the building for us is just a tool. I have said this many times and I will say it again. The Rocks has never been and will never be in the real estate business. We're not about to build our own kingdom. That's not the reason why we call it kingdom builders. But we want to build the kingdom of God here on earth through the preaching of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we do here every week. The baptism of Annette is just one small taste of what we do here as a church. Lives are being changed because of your generosity. Your money, your hard-earned money that doesn't last you beyond this lifetime can be used to make a difference for eternity if you want to learn to be crazy like us in generosity. So for people who don't like church to talk about money so much, I totally understand that, all right? I know some of you have been burned by church before. There are, you know, preachers out there who will guilt you into giving. There are preachers out there who will bribe you into giving. If you give one to the Lord will give 10 back to you. Well, let me tell you, for those of you who live in Australia, you already have a 10, all right? I'm not going to bribe you into giving. That's not the reason why I'm here. But I think it is very hypocritical of us as a church to not want to talk about money when 18 out of 36 parables of Jesus revolves around management of money. I think it's very hypocritical of us as a church to not want to talk about money when I know from talking to a lot of you that a lot of our issues in life, a lot of our problems in life revolves around money. I think it's very hypocritical of us as a church to not want to talk about money when Jesus himself says, your devotion to God will largely depend on how you use money. You cannot serve two masters, Jesus says. You got to choose. You can either hate the one and love the other. You either love God and hate money, or you love money and hate God. There's no in between, Jesus says. That's how strongly Jesus put money in relation to God, you see. That's why I love what Tim Keller says. He's one of my favorite pastors out of New York, Redeemer Church. He says this, there can be no real significant spiritual growth in your life unless you put your money and what you think about your money into God's hand. Listen to that. If you think you can be growing spiritually and yet you don't let God to touch your finance, you're fooling yourself. It's like you're going to the doctor and you tell the doctor, doctor, I've been feeling weak lately. I've been having, fatigue and I'm feeling lethargic. And the doctor asks you, how's your stress level at work? Did you sleep well at night? And all these questions. And you said, doctor, please don't bother me with this, psychological nonsense. Just stick to the physical. I just want to be stronger. And the doctor said, you can't do that. If you want me to help you, you have to tell me everything about you. Same thing. You want direction from God. You want encouragement from God. You want to know the purpose of your life. And yet, you don't want God to touch your finance. You're being hypocritical. You don't want to grow, really, if that's your attitude. All right? So this morning, I just want to put your mind at ease. I'm not trying to force you into doing anything you don't want to do. My prayer throughout this series is that God himself will speak to you and help you to take that next step toward being more generous, because all of us can take that next step wherever we are, all right? So I want to teach you to be generous, not just how to give. That's what I want to do in this series, because nobody else will do that. I know as soon as I say this, some of you think, man, I'm offended already. How many times will you offend me this morning? Are you saying that I'm not generous? You see, I can understand that mindset, because we have this self-preservation thing built in every one of us, right? As soon as someone says that you're not a certain way, what do? You immediately think of that time when you were that way. Husbands, who are the husbands here? Raise your hand. When your wife said to you, hey, you don't help enough around the house, what do? Immediately, you think, oh no, back in 2012, I did the dishes, right? If you can meet the nastiest person that you know, the rudest person that you know, and you come to this person and say, you know, a lot of people think that you are mean, what would this person do? Immediately, you know, 5 years ago, I was being nice to someone, and they defined themselves by that one time when they were that way. See, we like to think ourselves as being generous, and as soon as I say, I want to teach you how to be generous, immediately you think, man, last month I gave $39.95 to Telethon. Don't tell me I'm not generous. Well, maybe you are a giver, all right? I want to differentiate a giver from someone who is generous. See, generosity is more than just random acts of giving. We're all so good at random acts of giving. But generosity is more than that. I'm going to explain to you what it is in a minute. That's why I believe generosity needs to be taught, because it does not come naturally. Giving, for some of us, yeah, maybe we like to give from time to time. Maybe it is kind of natural to us. But generosity doesn't come naturally. I remember when Jaden was about, I think not quite 2 years old. He has been this awesome little baby, chubby cheeks. He's like an angel, you know, like innocent. And one day, he was playing with his cousin Aaron. And suddenly, I overheard this loud scream coming from the playing area. It's mine! And I looked, and I saw Jaden's face turned so red. I've never seen him so violent. He was a big baby when he was a baby. His cousin, who's a year older than him, I mean, he crossed him, and as he, grabbed his dinosaur toy out of his hand, it's mine! I never seen such rage, such violence from Jaden. And I thought to myself, whoa, who passed this mutant gene into my innocent son, Jaden? Immediately, I thought, which side of my wife's family did he get this from? I don't understand. But it doesn't come natural. You see, generosity needs to be taught. It doesn't come naturally. Here's my promise to you. This is what the promise I made last week. When you learn to become generous, you will give more, you will save more, you will consume less. Well, for some of you, you will not save more because you have saved more than enough. For some of you, you have more money than the four rows in front of you and the four rows behind you. I'm telling you, if that's you, you will not save more. You will just give more and consume less, all right? But for most of us, if you learn to be generous, you will give more, you will save more, and you will consume less. And as a result, you will be happier. Here's the crazy truth. When I talk about generosity, here's what happened, all right? We don't feel rich, but we are. And we feel generous, but we aren't. Let me say it again. We don't feel rich, but we are. And we feel generous, but we really aren't. If if I tell you that, hey, we have so much here in Australia, we are so blessed, immediately you will think of all the financial stresses that you have. You don't think that you are as rich as you are. I came across this video about 50 seconds that I want to show you. If a third world people come to us and just stay with us for 24 hours and see what we do, how we spend our money, let me tell you, they will be surprised at how much we have. So this short video clip showed you how the first world problem would sound like from the third world people. So let's see this.
I hate when my phone charger won't reach my bed.
I hate when my leather seats aren't heated.
When I go to the bathroom and I forget my phone.
Le mettre la radio dans la machine à laver, je commence à sentir.
I hate it when my house is so big. I need two wireless washers.
When my makeup makes my hot water taste too cold.
When I have to write my name the check, but I forget her last name.
I'm pas qu'à écrire message devant marcher en même temps.
On t'a quitté casse-moi en bas.
Moi raï les voisins bloqué internet là.
I hate it when I tell them no pickles and they still give me pickles.
I thought that's pretty cute. So, you are richer than you think you are, all right? All of us, actually, I don't have to give you the statistics. If you earn $40,000 or more in Australia in 1 year, you are richer than, don't quote me on this, but at least I think you will be richer than 5%. You are in the 5% of the richest population or something like that. So we are blessed living in this country. Let me tell you before I continue some myth about generosity, all right? Number one, generosity is spontaneous. You like to give. Every time you hear an appeal, you saw a picture of someone dying, you're moved to give, so you give. That's good, but that is not generosity. Generosity is not just spontaneous giving. Generosity is a lot more than that. You have to plan for it. You have to be prepared to be generous. Number two, generosity is determined by cash flow. So you give whenever you have the cash. You're not stingy. You don't think so, because every time you hear a need, maybe someone in your child's school mentioned some fundraising that you know the school is doing, you know, you open your wallet and you give. As long as you have money in your wallet. So when you have, you give. When you don't have, you don't give. But generous people are not like that. Generous people, once again, they give whether they have the cash or not have the cash because they've pre-decided beforehand to be generous. Myth number three, it is the amount that counts. See, this is a myth. How many times have you heard a story that goes something like this? Someone gives a large sum of money to a certain charity or appeal, and then you say, wow, that person is generous, right? That person is generous. But you don't know that. See, you can't say that because generosity is not just the amount. It has to be seen in the totality of that person. If you have a lot of money, right, you can give a lot as well. But even though you have a lot of zeros in your giving, but when you have a lot more zeros, maybe you're not as generous as you think you are because it's not the amount that counts. One time Jesus told a story. It's actually not a story. I'll take it back. He was actually in the temple. This is not a parable, but real event that happened in Jesus' life. He was in the temple watching how people give. A lot of people give a large sum of money. But Jesus said, one poor widow who gave I don't know how many coins, but she gave just copper coins, meant nothing to the temple. But Jesus said, she is the most generous of them all because generosity has nothing to do with the amount that you give, all right? It is to do with how much you're willing to use the finances that God has entrusted you with for the building of his kingdom, okay? So that's number three. Number four, I can be generous if I'm rich. Again, this is a myth, okay? Rich and generosity has nothing to do with each other. You have a rich person who is generous, and you can also have a rich person who is not generous. You can have a poor person who is generous. You can have a poor person who is not generous. So the two doesn't have anything to do with one another, all right? You don't have to wait until you are rich in order for you to be generous, all right? In fact, the reason why you don't feel rich, if I can guess, even though you are, is because you aren't generous. That's why you don't feel rich. So here's a definition of generosity that is kind of clunky, All right? I took this from a pastor in Atlanta, Andy Stanley, and he said this. Generous is this: the premeditated, calculated, designated emancipation of personal financial assets. Whoa, some big words there. Premeditated, what does that mean? That means you pre-decided beforehand how much you want to give, all right? You're not moved by emotion. You don't necessarily give just because you feel like it or you feel guilty if you don't give, because this giving is premeditated. You have pre-decided beforehand that giving is good, whether I feel like it or I don't feel like it, whether I'm moved in my spirit or whether I'm not moved in my spirit. So it's premeditated, calculated. You know exactly how much you're going to give, all right? You set it aside. You know exactly how much you give. And you designate it to a certain place. You give it to the church. You give it to the Red Cross. I want to give it to Compassion. See, you designate your giving into something that you believe in, all right? And then emancipation simply means letting go. You release it. You release your finance, your personal financial asset, in a calculated way, in a thoughtful way, and then you designate it to a certain place. That is generosity. I'm going to talk more about this as we go along in the next few weeks, all right? But there is one statement in the Bible that I want to share with you. This is a statement made by Jesus himself. This is the reason why it is important, it is good for us to learn to be generous, all right? A lot of people don't think it's in the Bible, but it's actually in the Bible. Not only is it in the Bible, actually Jesus said it, all right? It was quoted by Paul, though. So Paul, let me give you the background before I share you what Jesus said. Paul was in Ephesus at this time. He has been planting churches in the Mediterranean area, and he was about to leave for Jerusalem. And Paul, having shown the example through his life how generous he was, he wanted to encourage the people in Ephesus to continue to be generous like he has been generous. And they've all seen him giving everything that he has. So Paul says, continue to do this. Remember what Jesus said about this. So this is what Paul said, all right? I've never coveted anyone's silver or gold or fine clothes. You know that these hands of mine have worked to supply my own needs and even the needs of those who are with me. So in other words, when Paul says, I want you to be generous, I want you to be generous, it's not for my benefit. I work for myself. I don't need your money for myself. That's what Paul said. I can supply my own needs, even the needs of those who are with me. Not only was he able to supply his own needs as a tent maker, he was also able to supply the needs of the people that come with him in these ministry trips. And then verse 35, I want you to continue to be generous, Paul says. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. A lot of you who didn't grow up in church, maybe you don't think that's in the Bible. You heard it before, but you didn't know who said it. You didn't know it was in the Bible. It was in the Bible. Jesus was the one who said it. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, we read this so wrongly that we don't understand what Jesus is trying to say to us. Sometimes when you give money to someone, or when you see someone giving money to someone else, you say, wow, you are so generous. You are so generous, and you're good at doing that. It's good that you do that. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, it is true. It is more blessed to give than to receive. But Jesus is not just talking about a one-time, one instance where you give, and then at that particular moment, it is more blessed to give than to receive. No, Jesus is talking about a lifestyle here. Because in the original language, the verb is in the present active infinitive. What that means is it's a continuous action. If you make giving your lifestyle, this is what Jesus is saying, okay? If you make giving your lifestyle, you are blessed. You will be happier than people who make receiving their lifestyle. So, in other words, this is what Jesus is saying. A person whose life is ordered around giving rather than receiving is more joyful. I know some of you think, I remember that one time when I give, I do feel good about it. But I also remember when I receive, I felt good as well. So I think it's about 50-50. I think it's good to give. I feel pretty good to receive as well. Well, it's true. If you just look at that one time, one occasion, yeah, I like to receive as much as any of you. But let me tell you, what Jesus is saying is true. If you make giving your lifestyle overall, you are so much more blessed than people who just like to receive and receive and receive all the time. All right? This is the different kind of crazy that we are talking about. It's unnatural. People think it's counterintuitive. How can you be happier when you give? But here's what people do, and that's why we live in this crazy, crazy world, right? If you talk about money, if you talk about finance, the number one word that is associated a lot with money or finance is this word, worry. We all worry that we don't have enough. Will I have enough to build a house? Will I have enough to get married? Will I have enough for university education? Will I have enough for my son's education? Will I have enough? We always worry all the time, all right? And here's the crazy thing that we do. We worry about our finances, so what do you think we do when we worry? We spend, of course. That's what we do. I kid you not. Just look at the statistics, not just in Australia, but especially in the first world countries. The statistics is we used up most of our finances, sometimes even more than what we have. So we worry, and instead of doing something about that, we actually spend everything that comes to us. So as a result, we are in debt, right? Even if you're not in debt, this is what happened. You have little or no margin in your life. That's why when you go on holiday, because you're so tight in your budget, man, I want to go to Bali, but we're so tight. All right, let's look for a cheap Jetstar ticket, all right? Instead of traveling because you plan it, because you save, instead of traveling first class or whatever, your money is always tight. You always have to manage it carefully because you have such little margin. The reason why you have such little margin is because you spend most of what comes your way, all right? And when you have little or no margin in your financial life, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be worried, right? And when you're worried, you spend more. You're in debt, you have no margin, and this is the vicious cycle. This is crazy, let me tell you. And this is how the world lives today. This is how the world lives today. The assumption is, I call it the consumption assumption. It is actually greed in disguise. If it comes to me, then it is all for me. If it comes to me, then it is all for me. I have to take care of myself, otherwise nobody will take care of me, which is true, by the way. I'm not suggesting that you should do nothing about your life. You shouldn't plan. You shouldn't save and all that. No, that's the opposite of what I'm trying to say. But this assumption is wrong. This assumption is greed in disguise. If it comes to me, that means it's all for me. And Jesus, this is the last story that I want to tell you today, told this parable. Now, this didn't really happen because it's a parable, all right? And a parable is so powerful, though. Because this reflects what a lot of us are thinking and what a lot of us are actually doing with our finances, right? This is so powerful that, you know, you can't miss this because this reflects all of us, all right? This is what Jesus said. He told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. As now, even 2,000 years ago, it was true. The richer just got richer, right? The rich just got richer. The ground of a certain man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. What do I do? Wow, honey, we have so much stuff. We need to clear the basement. We need to clear the garage. Honey, we got so much stuff. Let's hire a storage space. Honey, we got so much stuff. We need a bigger house. See, this is what we do. This is what we do. This is what we say to each other. What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. I need a bigger barn. But God said to him, you fool, this very night, your life will be demanded from you, and who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Actually, before this, there was another verse. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to build myself bigger barns. for my own consumption later. That's the idea. He never thought to himself, wow, I got so much, I need to share this. I need to give it away. He never thought that at all. All he thought about, I need to build myself bigger barns. Why? Because it is to be for my own consumption later. Or at least my children's consumption. And God said to him, you fool. He's fool not because he's rich. He's a fool because he got it wrong. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And this is how it will be. With whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. Jesus is talking about you and me in verse 21. This is how it will be. Right? Future tense. If you don't store things up toward God, but store things up for yourself, God is calling you a fool. You know why? Because whether you give your possession away or not, at the end of it, you will have to part with it anyway, right? If you have to part with it, it is not yours to begin with. That's what it means. If you have to part with your finance, that means it is not yours to begin with. So you either give it away now while you still can and it will give you joy, or someday you will have to part with your money anyway. You got to think long term. That's what differentiates us from animals. Animals don't think long term. Your dog at home doesn't think about, you know, selling the bones to other dogs and collect more bones, right? He's just thinking about immediate future. That's all. But don't be like an animal. You got to think longer term than that. I want to close by showing you this video. It's a powerful video. I show it almost every year, this video. It's a good reminder, even for myself, that life is more than just the 70, 80 years that we have here on earth, that we need to think about eternity as well, all right? This is a video clip from a pastor in California by the name of Francis Chan. It's so powerful. It's about 5 minutes long. I want you to pay full attention, and then I will come back and close.
The world's going to keep making you look at your past. And we got to keep looking at the future. You look at your past, you're going to get depressed. And you're going to get stuck in your past. You look to your future and go, man, what is that moment going to be like? See, my actions, a lot of things I do is because I'm thinking about my future. And I'm thinking about that moment when I see Jesus, because I realize that everything I do is going to bring either reward or regret. It really is. I've got an extra $1,000. Okay, on that day, that future, when I see Jesus, what is going to bring reward and what's going to bring regret? I could buy a lot of fun things for myself with that $1,000, but on that day, Paul's saying, I'm just looking at that day, going on that day, maybe I just give it to the poor, because on that day, I'll be rewarded for it, versus, yeah, I mean, we've all bought things we regret, right? You go, oh, that was a waste of money, that's a waste of money, that's a waste of money. Think about what we're going to say at the end when we stand before God. Are you going to regret the car you drove, regret the house you lived in, regret the clothes you wore, regret, you know, just everything? What are you going to regret? What about your time and how you spent it? Are you going to go, oh, I'm so glad I watched 7,000 movies. Or are you going to regret, wow, I wasted all of that time now. It's about the future. Paul's going, man, what am I going to look forward to at the end? I'm going to bring an illustration that, this is like the first illustration I did. It was 20 years ago, but I can't think of a better way to explain it. I actually didn't use a rope back then. I used remember computer paper? When it was all stuck together and it had the holes on the side that you had to peel off. Remember that? I remember getting a roll, and some of you guys have no idea what I'm talking about, which is crazy to me, but because that was the best, you know? And it never worked right because of the rolling things. But I remember being a youth pastor, and I put that computer paper all the way around the room, but I'm going to use a rope now because I can't find that computer paper. Imagine this rope, okay, pretend this rope just goes on forever,
Okay? Just imagination. Pretend it goes around the world a few times. It doesn't. It ends at the rock. But let's just imagine this thing goes on forever. Now, imagine that this rope is a timeline of your existence. You just exist forever. You see this red part? This would represent your time on Earth. You've got a few short years here on Earth, and then you've got all of eternity somewhere else. This is your existence. And what blows me away is some of you, all you think about is this red part. It's all you think about. You're consumed with this. You go, oh man, I can't wait till here. You know, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to save so I can really enjoy this part right here. And you're consumed with that. And you're thinking, oh man, am I going to get to travel? Am I going to eat well? Am I going to do this during this part? And I'm like, are you kidding me? What about this? What about this? What about all this stuff? It's crazy to me because the Bible teaches that what I do during this little red part determines how I'm going to exist for millions and millions and millions of years forever. And so why would I spend this little red part trying to make myself as comfortable as possible, enjoying myself as much as I can? Paul says, look, I'm going to live my life for this mission. I'm going to spend my life, invest my life for this moment when I cross that finish line. See, I'm going to forget about all this stuff I could enjoy, and I'm not going to look around. I'm going to be like a runner just looking at that moment when I face God, because when I face him, then I don't get this chance over again. We get one chance at this life on earth, and it can end at any second for any of us. We've got one chance at this, and then comes eternity. And I'm not going to be fooled. I'm not going to spend my life down here. See, people look at some of my decisions and go, oh, you're so stupid because that's going to really affect this. I go, no, you're stupid because that's going to affect all of this. Man, I'm serious. I look at the way people live and I go, wow, that is so crazy. You are so crazy. You're gonna do that right now just to enjoy right now, not even knowing if you have tomorrow, and you think that's smart and that I'm dumb, it doesn't make any sense. Paul goes, I'm not going to look around at all this stuff. And it's tempting. It's tempting to all of us. That's what I'm saying. Down here, it's crazy because everyone lives that way. Everyone lives for the red part. No one's thinking about the millions of years afterwards. It's just this crazy deception that we can't get out of our minds. And Paul goes, I'm not doing that. He goes, I keep my eyes on that. I keep my eyes on that finish line, and I'm going to forget what's behind me. I'm not looking around. I'm straining. He goes, I'm straining forward. I'm like stretching forward for that mark. I'm going to pass this thing. I'm going to live this out, and I'm going to face him. I'm going to come before the judges, and he's going to hand me that trophy. He goes, I'm going to get it, and I haven't gotten there yet. He goes, but you better believe I'm using every muscle, exerting every bit about me, because I'm going to pass that line well.
That is so good, isn't it? I really like his hairstyle. That's why I sport this. I want his anointing. Well, imagine with me. Imagine all the money that you wasted for the past 10 years, the purchases that you regret. Maybe you should have kept that car longer. Maybe you shouldn't have bought that new TV. All the purchases that you regret, that you could have saved. And imagine God is doing a deal with you. God says, okay, those purchases that you regret, those wasted money, however you define waste, I'm not going to tell you how you define how you waste your money, but all those wasted money, God says, if I give them all back to you, but here's the catch. You must give them away. I'll give them all back to you, but not for yourself. You must give them away to people. You can give them wherever. And then you have to give them within the next year. What would you do? Well, you will start giving, won't you? You hear a need in the church. You hear a need in your office. Someone is sick, need medical help. They don't have money. $1,000. Here you go. $1,000. You feel so good about it that you're able to give, that you will be able to be generous. Imagine with me, if that were the case, why don't you just think forward from now on? Instead of God giving you all those money that you have wasted, that you could have used to bless others, don't live in the past. But what about for the next 10 years? Don't live crazy like the rest of the world, but live generously. And you will know what it's like to be generous. I imagine if God were to ask me, hey, Daniel, all the money that you give to the Rocks Church, I'll give them back to you, times 100. And over the years, I'm not saying this to be prideful or anything, we've given away a lot of money to this church. And God says, I give them all back to you, times 100. I would have at least $1 million. But here's the catch. All the good that the Rocks Church has done, all the good that you've done through that money, I will also take them back. Would you want to do it? My answer is clear. No way I will make that trade. If God were to take back all the good that we are able to do as a church as a result of my giving, I don't want that. I don't want to see that money anymore, even if it's multiplied 100 times into my life. Because people are so much more valuable than money. Souls whom Jesus died for on the cross, they are so much more valuable than our finances. So on your way out, I want you to grab this Kingdom Builders booklet that will explain to you everything about this campaign that we have. So please grab one per family. And at the back of it, there's a commitment card. Looks like this. On the last Sunday in March, what date is that? 26th? On the last Sunday in March, I want you to bring this form and I want you to make a faith promise to God to give together with all of us as a church family so that God can use our church, God can continue to use this building for us to reach out to the world around us, especially in this community, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will you do that? Just grab one copy on your way out.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website, therocks.org.au.